Work it, make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
It is the day before Thanksgiving. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci from the Dog Bowl in Berea, giving thanks for hopefully a Browns victory this Sunday in advance. A premature thanks,
I guess. That's a good thing.
We'll see. We'll try to get that done for you. We will be with you for the next 2 hours here on the show today. We will have some good guests. We'll talk to you at 216-578-0850. Or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Coming up on today's show, Scott Petrak will join us at 1:30 p.m. Eastern from the Elyria Chronicle-Times. We'll also have Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union at 2:15 to give a Jaguars perspective on this Sunday's game between the Browns and the Jags. The Browns, as you know, have won just one of their last six games. The Jaguars have won 2 of 3 since their bye. Come in with a little bit of momentum here. Will be a tough test for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. We're going to talk about that. We will hear throughout the show. Obviously, we'll have Gerard Cherry in hour number two as well. Throughout the show, we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Rob Chudzinski. T.J. Ward will join us as well. And, you know, we're going to hear from a lot of the players. We're going to hear from you. We're going to talk about this Browns team. And, you know, one of the things that at least is exciting is that, you know, the team has brought in the trick shot quarterback. And last night at my house, a bunch of people were over. We threw that on there. And I've now probably watched it 6 times in the last 24 hours. And it's awesome. And I wish we could get this guy. I wish we could have him in here today. We should get Tanny. He's out there practicing. I saw him.
Are you, have you tried any of those tricks yourself?
No, I have done in a basketball gym, thrown the ball the length of the court into the basket, and I've been able to do. I've made it. I mean, he made it look, I don't know how the editing happened or not, but it looked like he went, you know, basically 8 in a row, swishes, and
but
then off
done,
the glass. I've been able to throw it. Yeah, of course.
Oh, I want
I can
video
sling
of
the
that.
Pill.
I know you can
together.
Sling the pill. I know that about you.
Some of the stuff he's done, I mean, just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. In a moving car, through the window of a moving car.
Yeah, and he did. From the 50-yard line, he hit the right goalpost.
Yeah.
He hit the left goalpost. Then he hit the crossbar in a row. He did it off of his knee from the 40. Some of the stuff was ridiculous. The one that he did, it was really impressive to me, was he was able to throw it off of, you know, those nets that you can throw it off, kind of like to play catch with yourself? And he threw it off of that back over his head into the basket. That was pretty good. I was pretty impressed by that.
That's
one.
Cool stuff. It's got to mean something.
It means he's got to have a lot of accuracy.
Got some skill, or at least accuracy.
There's no question.
And we'll see if I think we are going to see the guy. We talked about this on yesterday's show. I think we're going to see the guy play. By the way, I don't want to get all syrupy and sappy, but I am thankful for something, and I want to lay this out there right at the beginning as you referenced Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to have you as a partner on this show. It's been tremendous.
Thanks, Notorious. We started the same way.
July. I feel like we've worked together for years. I think this has been a fantastic show. I was happy with what Cleveland Browns Daily had been when we started it, but it doesn't compare with what it's been since you've been part of this thing. And I know many great days are ahead of us. So I'm very thankful for that. A new friend and colleague, and certainly to work with a lot of people that we have here in the building.
Notorious. I love it.
I'm getting you all choked up.
That's right.
But no, and we want to thank the great support that we get on this show today.
Right.
We've got Megan Rock in here with us.
That's right.
And we also have Carly McCord. They alternate days to come in here, do tweeting for the show. They do the Browns Daily Wrap. They put a lot of work in this and a lot of effort into this, and they've got other things going on. I mean, it's very efficient in this place because we share people's work skills and the resources that we have. But when they're in here, man, they are focused and they get stuff done. So we're very happy with that. And I got to ask Megan, because Thanksgiving is a special thing at the Rock. It's special at everybody's household, but it sounds like the Rock family gets together in a big way. And really, I mean, the numbers were impressive. I heard hundreds of people are coming over to your family's house.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Hundreds.
Or maybe 20?
Everyone's welcome. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone's welcome.
Well, mom's going to be mad at me for that.
I think she might get a little upset about that. Holy smoly. But that's good. But you get a big turnout. A lot of big family.
Yeah, big family. We have about 20 people coming.
Man.
A lot of little kids. So
okay.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy, but.
And I heard you basically become kind of like the, you know, the what do they call it on a cruise ship? The cruise director. You're the one who's entertaining all these kids.
I am. I'm like the jungle gym with all the kids, you know. They just kind of beat me up all day, but it's fun.
Okay, well, good. Well, that's great. And that's what Thanksgiving should be about. We get together with families. It's, look, on this show, we do enough serious football talk each day.
Yes, we
that
do.
It's nice to get a little respite. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
To just take a little time off, take a pause, take a breath, and then we won't be on the air tomorrow. Just to kind of tell
we'll
people,
we'll be back on Friday.
But we're right back at it on Friday.
That's right.
And we'll continue to get you set for Sunday's game against the Jaguars. And look, I know trying to talk up a game like that is not an easy thing to do. I think people are pretty much set that. The discussion's larger than Sunday's game, and the discussion is more about where are the Browns and where are they going. And one of the topics I want us to hit on this show, because it's going to tie in with other discussions when we have Scott Petrick in here in the studio at the bottom of the hour from the Elyria Chronicle Times, but the Elyria paper, but the T.J. Ward was a guest of ours on the Browns preview show last night. And he had some he did not back off of the things he said after the game that caused a little bit of a ruckus. I'm you know, calling it full out controversy, I think, is an overblown way to look at it. But he definitely said some things that amounted to defensive players' frustration over the offensive struggles. And that's what it came down to. And I asked him about it, co-hosted with Michael Regan last night. And, you know, his response to it was basically to stay true to what he said. You'll hear from TJ those remarks a little bit later in the show. But I respected him for standing by what he said. And, again, in the context of trying to be a leader. But here's what I want to, where I want to go with you, Nathan, today, is as we look at what the Browns have done the last 2 weeks, in the grand scheme of where they're headed, I don't think it blows up everything. I don't think it gets me to a point where this team has fallen to, you know, fallen backward, and now you can't trust that the direction is going where it's going.
No.
So they
execute in two critical games, and they turned the ball over four times in each of those two games.
Okay. So, I mean, we're stopping there because many of the people I hear from via Twitter, via email, you know, want to say that this is a sign of the team regressing, going backwards. And I know it looks like that, and it's a hard discussion when you try to tell folks, no, don't trust what your eyes tell you that seems to indicate that. There's something still bigger at work here. And I don't think it undoes everything that we've seen up to this point. Having said that, I do want to see for these remaining five games something that strongly indicates what we believed prior to these last two games is more the real Browns versus what we've seen the last two. Are you there with that too?
I'm totally there with that. I think that like I said, these were two very important games. Had these two games been won by the Cleveland Browns, or even if they went 1-1, we would feel completely differently about the team than we feel right now. Their ability to be really more legitimately in the playoff hunt would be different, but still, it's a top five defense. We said it at the beginning of the year, this is a playoff caliber defense. I'm not sure it's a playoff caliber offense, and that's what we've seen. It's also a team that in the biggest of moments thus far has failed to execute, pay attention to detail, and do the things that winning football teams do in those games. Prevent blocked punts not once but twice against Cincinnati. Take care of the football. Four turnovers in each of the last two games. You can't do that and win in the National Football League. Do I think overall, though, the direction is any different now because of those shortcomings in those two games? No. And I think Solomon Wilcott's made a great point for those people who wanted to cast aspersions on the coaching staff. Say, listen, you were up 13-0 against the Cincinnati Bengals. You were prepared to play in that game. As the game wore on, you failed to execute. 3-3 in the second quarter against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, as the game wore on, the Browns failed to execute, and that's why they didn't win those games. But I don't think overall, directionally speaking, I am any less optimistic about 2014 than I was early in the year. I'm just less optimistic about 2013 and what they're going to be able to do this season relative to the playoffs or playing meaningful games towards the end of the month of December.
And I like that people like T.J. Ward want to make sure that everybody understands you don't give this season up completely. You don't just turn to this season and say it's a waste of time, that you're just going through the motions. It's
not
easy to do. You look outside, there's snow on the ground. It's colder. You're trying to practice for something and get inspired to work in these conditions as a football player. The teams that have obviously players who are fully attentive to what's going on are the ones that are looking forward to a postseason and are the great prospect of one. This team doesn't have that right now, but that does not mean that you take the approach of, well, we're just playing out the string, because I think that does a couple of things. I think it hurts your chances not only to stick around here, to convince the people who are making decisions here about your future that you still belong. I think it also can hurt your future somewhere else, if there is a somewhere else to go. Because one of the things I know scouts do in evaluating pro scouts, in evaluating players that they could potentially pick up if they're somehow available via waiver wire or whatever trade after a season is over, is gauge what kind of team they're on and where that team was going. And they particularly, I know this for a fact, they particularly look at the performances when they look at tape of how players play on bad teams or teams that are out of contention, teams that are kind of going to the finish line, and what are they showing. And they're going to look at players like Jacksonville's Jaguar players, Tampa Bay Buccaneers players, all the ones that are coming down to the stretch run with nothing to run for. And the Browns would fall into that category for the most part. And I think it's vital to see kind of how they react to all that. And I think, too, the quarterback changes, what they've meant to the other players on the offense. The inconsistency of dealing with the same guy throwing you the football is a legitimate factor issue, if you will, in terms of how this team is judged.
There's no question, and you're looking at these teams, Jacksonville, who are completely out of it, and yet they've won two of their last three. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are winning games now. So you're seeing that in some other teams, and you want to see that from the Browns as well. And you make a very good point that a lot of these players are playing to either A, stay here and be a part of this team as it grows, or B, to put something out on tape that would make another team say, hey, we want to give this person a shot to be a part of our organization. So there still is a lot at stake for the team, and more importantly for the players, over these final five games. And as you said yesterday, you're not eliminated until you're technically eliminated. And the Browns have not yet been eliminated from playoff contention. Is it likely? I think it would be unfair to say yes. I think it would be much more fair and realistic to say it is probably pretty unlikely right now for this Cleveland Browns team. But nonetheless, there are things that can be done and things that we can see and continue to build on as you get ready for a critically important offseason, a critically important draft, and the future of this organization.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is the big picture future of the Browns and what they're trying to establish here, what the path here is to having sustainable success. And a lot of that is going to be contained within the draft. But to paint that bigger picture, you need to see what the existing picture looks like. You need to have a handle on what this team, what sort of foundation is here. That's the best word I guess I've got for it, is a foundation, because I think there is one of those. I think you have something that can be built upon, and I think it's fairly sturdy because it starts with defense. Most of whatever is strong on this football team is still on that side of the ball. I don't see any major overhaul necessary there. I know there are some compelling questions that have to be answered on that side of the ball, such as T.J. Ward's future with his contract coming up. And that was something else, by the way, I asked him about when we talked last night, and he's going to get into that, about whether something like that is still on his mind. And you know what? It is. Surprise, surprise. It is something a player thinks about. Joe Hayden, Alex Mack. I mean, some key players and their futures, and then how they factor into things. And someone asked me, I thought this was a great question that I got, I can't remember, social media or whatever, and I put it in my Ask Vic response column on clevelandbrowns.com. It's posted on our website, to the effect of whether, Nathan, Joe Banner or Michael Lombardi were more focused on winning or the draft at this point. And my answer was, you never stop thinking about winning. Winning is always in your thought process. However, the draft is simultaneously, the 2014 draft is simultaneously being prepared for, being thought about with the rest of the season.
And that's what they're supposed to be doing. It is a preparation. This, the college teams are playing now. The players that they are looking to bring into the Cleveland Browns are playing and need to be evaluated right now. So I have absolutely no problem with that. And I think when you say, is Joe Banner focused on winning, of course he is. But Joe Banner is focused more on winning in the grand scheme of things and building a winner that will be here and put the Cleveland Browns on the map and turn them into a franchise akin to the New England Patriots that wins year after year after year after year and is always in contention. And to do that, they're going to have a very successful draft and offseason here in 2013 and figure out which players that are currently in place. And I think T.J. Ward absolutely should be one of them.
Oh, yeah.
That are the pillars of building a championship team here in Cleveland.
He better be. I really think you're going to look around the league, and if you say goodbye to one of the better strong safeties in the league, which is what T.J. Ward is, tell me who your replacement is going to be, and I don't want to see a downgrade there.
Absolutely. Are you surprised that they haven't tried to negotiate that in the season as opposed to waiting till the end?
A little bit. And it doesn't sound – just the gauge I get from T.J., it doesn't sound like it's something – that he sees as imminently being addressed. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't be, and it doesn't mean that they don't have a strategy to get it done, but it just means that as we sit here right now, it isn't done. He's not fretting about it, and I also think that when you go into a season and don't have a deal done with a player, you tend to not get into those kinds of talks in season. They do tend to be disruptive. There was a time when a lot of teams tried to address those issues when the season was rolling. Doesn't work so well. It usually is a bad thing. Coaches hate it. They don't want their players preoccupied with that because it will be a preoccupation. It will be a distraction. So you want to get that off the table. So I think from that standpoint, it's probably a smart way to go. All right, and we want people to call us, by the way, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, just getting this thing started here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Again, from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, we will have Scott Petrak. That's at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get some sound. We also, by the way, have been. We'll take you inside the locker room. I mean, we've got Billy Winn. We've got different players, Desmond Bryant, Jordan Cameron. Jameer Howerton's been busy getting these guys. We won't have them all on today's show, but today and also on Friday's show, we will take you inside the locker room. So plenty of sound from all of that. All of that ahead and more on CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR.